Morning. Thank you for that warm ovation. No pressure. And I've had a few people that were close to me say some things to me, in kidding. And, the more I thought about it, it was kidding, but there was a lot of truth in it. You know, one of the things my wife said to me is, "You weren't raised right." And I had never had anybody said that to me. And, it was like, I think she's got a point. I wasn't raised right. But it was the only way I was raised. So I don't know any other, I wasn't raised right. Gee, I wish somebody would have said that to me. We're raising you incorrectly. But then, my daughter-in-law, I'm going to embarrass people today. My daughter-in-law at a dinner at my house, a beautiful dinner that my wife had prepared for us. We're around the family table, and it was 10 or 12 of us around. And somebody said something, and I came up with a typical Paul response. And she said, "You're such a wah-wah." I didn't know even what she meant, but what is a wah-wah? "You're such a wah-wah." And then everybody fell out of the table, and they were laughing, and I said, "I think this is kind of like you weren't raised right." So I had to start examining, if in fact I was a wah-wah, because I know in fact I wasn't raised right. So, I've come to the conclusion I am a wah-wah, I'm going to give you some illustrations so you'll understand it, Did you hear the story of the openly depressed man whose friend comes along and sincerely asks him, "What's the matter? You okay?" And the depressed guy says, "I just won the lottery." And his friend, staggered by that answer, given his buddy's state of mind, says, "So why so down?" And the depressed guy answers and says, "Now I got to pay all those taxes." That's a wah-wah, right? That's a wah-wah. Did you ever think that sometimes, my last line there is the friend who is trying to comfort the lottery winner, once he hears about the taxes, he slaps him, Three Stooges style, and walks away shaking his head. Did you ever think that sometimes God feels that way towards us? That with all the blessings that we've had, with all the good things that we can look at in our lives, the thing that we choose to look at is not those. We're wah-wahs. And church, of all people who have reason to give thanks, it's us, okay? So a wah-wah is kind of like Eeyore, if you know the Winnie the Pooh stuff, always finds, something to complain about. Now, I'm not really good at building stuff. I'm not really great at doing anything. But I am really good at telling you what's wrong with what you built. I'm really skilled at picking apart the thing that you've built. I have that critical spirit, and sometimes I think it's part of the fall. We're so much better at pulling people down than we are at lifting people up. I know I am. And it's funny how the devil tricks me into thinking, "Boy, that was so good of you. That was so sharp of you to pick out that little inconsistency." I remember my wife cooked for it was Christmas dinner. She cooked for about 40 people over our house, and the one uncle who was the wah-wah of wah-wahs, he was a card-carrying president of the wah-wah club. He called my wife over and he cut open a meatball. And there's a little piece of pink in the middle of the meatball. And in front of everybody, he said, "These aren't finished." You know. Now, I wanted to do that Three Stooges slap on him, and she did too. But we let it slide. But the Lord's working in me, and I'm getting better. I'm getting better at seeing the error of my ways and more telling Holy Spirit, you must increase, and I must decrease. Okay? You must increase, and I must decrease. So the scripture that, it's a very short scripture, that is the basis of this today, but there's dozens and dozens of others that support. So Nehemiah 10, 8, no, chapter 8, verse 10. Then he said to them, go, eat of the fat, drink of the sweet, and send portions to him who has nothing prepared. For this day is holy to our Lord. Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Everybody hear that? Do not be grieved, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. Say that. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Say it again. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Get used to saying it. Say it until your heart believes it. Because it's just kind of our human nature to forget the joy of the Lord today. Right? That I believe that's why the Lord, when he provided manna in the desert, he told them, don't store it up for you. There's more manna tomorrow. Okay? Don't try to save today. And I think what that did is that kept them every day looking for new, fresh manna. Okay? Yesterday's blessing is great, and take faith from that, but there's more today. There's more provision for you today. Because the joy of the Lord is your strength. What is the joy of the Lord? Well, think about it. God is omniscient. He's all-powerful. He's all-present. There is nothing that you can come to God with and he's going to say, oh, man, we are toast. We're done. I can't do anything with this. There's nothing you can come to God with where it's like, oh, well, that's it, right? That's joy. Every situation you come in contact with, he is victorious over. He has the power to be victorious over it. Raise your hand if you've ever seen a difficult situation that you didn't believe. You just couldn't see the other side of it. And God made you victorious over it. All right? The joy of your Lord is your strength. And so that's why, church, we need to not be such wah-wahs. We need to be the people declaring the goodness and the power of our God. Right? Even in the face of, you know, of seemingly horrible things. You know, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Okay? I hope you'll forgive me, but the Havcos had such a tragedy a year ago, and they have two grandsons today. They have two grandsons today. The joy of the Lord is their strength. You know, there'll be tears in the evening, but joy comes in the morning. That's the God that we serve, right? There is no situation, no hopeless situation that, you know, can exist, can last in the face of our God. So my title is, The Joy of the Lord is My Strength. Now, I have to say, there is a hopelessness that almost naturally comes with the disappointment in life. I was supposed to be Derek Jeter. I mean, that was my plan, you know? And, you know, when I saw that wasn't going to happen, there was a certain hopelessness that came into my life. What now? I guess I'll be a teacher. I wanted to be a writer. So far, it hasn't happened. And so on. Life is filled with dreams that never came true. It's part of growing up. I had a kid in my class. He's a real pain in my neck, you know. I loved him, but I didn't like him. Okay? I want to be LeBron James. Shut up. Your parents are 4'11" and 5'10", and neither one can walk and chew gum. Stop it. Stop it. You're not going to be LeBron James. You're lucky to be Ronnie James, right? But again, that was the wah-wah in me. I'm wondering if he'll ever recover from his teacher telling him that. I remember reading an article back in school about neglected children, how they reach a point where they hardly cry at all anymore. The article used a term that up until then I hadn't heard of. It was called learned hopelessness. Learned hopelessness, which is something entirely different than just being a wah-wah. Learned hopelessness. These children that the experts were studying, they had reached a place where they seemed to stop calling out for help. Because, in fact, there was no one to help them. Or if there was somebody there to help them, they weren't helping. They were busy doing their own thing. They weren't helping. And so there was, and there is, with those children and those people, the silence of resignation, right? The big sigh. I guess this is it for me. This is all there is for me. It's all there ever gonna be. You ever feel that way? Hopelessness. It's where the devil works night and day to bring you to. Night and day to bring you to hopelessness. Okay? That's a condition of life. You have an enemy, and his job, what he does day and night, is work. He's a travel agent with one destination. Okay? He wants to punch your ticket to hopelessness. Right? Let's look at some hopeless situations that are all well known in the Bible. I'm not going to go there because it would, you know, you'd be here till 3 o'clock. But I'll give you the references. Okay, the first one that I chose, and there's literally probably hundreds in the scripture. But the widow and the oil, 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 1 to 7. Right. She went to the prophet. And she asked him for something, and she said, "We're starving, we're broke, I'm going to go in, I'm going to shut the door of my house, and I'm going to die. I'm just going to crawl up and die." Hopelessness, right? The Shunammite woman, again, 2 Kings 4, 8 to 37. That must be a good chapter, right? You know, her child was dead. Hopelessness. And she cried out to God, "Did I ask you for a kid? Did I ask you for this? You gave me this. Did you give me this to just frustrate me and bring me to the deepest depths of despair?" Hopelessness. You see the story of the Israelites while they were in Egypt. And then after God got them out, they were big time wah-wahs. I think the meaning of the tribe Israel means wah-wah, right? Sarah and Abraham, holding on to a promise, but we're 80 years old. Hopelessness, right? The blind, and so many other people who Jesus ministered to, right? They came to him with a life filled with hopelessness. All their experience was hopelessness, right? And you, right? You're in here with the rest of these guys. If you are here as a believer, you know the salvation of the Lord. You know what it means. The joy of the Lord is my strength. You may not think about that often enough, and that's one of the reasons. This message is to get you to think about that much more frequently. Think about that more than you think about your wah-wah. That's a new word I just invented. Your wah-wah-ness. And me. You and me. I know that I know that I know my Redeemer lives. My Redeemer lives. He reigns despite what lies the evil one says to me. Despite what seems to be to my physical eyes. Right? Your physical eyes lie. Just like your emotions. Right? We live in a world that glorifies emotions. If you're feeling it, it's got to be real. Well, I'd be in trouble if everything I felt was real. Right? I'm moody sometimes, you know, and what was real yesterday sure ain't real today. Right? But God. Right? But God. Despite what seems to be to my physical eyes, despite lives filled with hopelessness, but God, what did he do? Time and time again, can't you see the pattern? If you haven't seen the pattern, you're not paying attention. You're not looking hard enough. The pattern, hopelessness replaced by the joy of the Lord. Every challenge you face in your life, overcome. Life renewed, death overcome, death rendered powerless. In the end, Jesus came to destroy the works of the devil. One of the biggest things, he brought death into the world. I have overcome even death. Death is rendered insignificant. Think about that. Think about that. Death itself, because the Lord is your strength, is rendered insignificant. That's the peace of the joy of the Lord. How many battles won in his name? How many hopeless situations turned as the Lord moved in the moment? And man, you and me received heavenly aid. Right? Who says I can't get heavenly aid? The world says it all the time, but I know for a fact I have gotten heavenly aid. I have gotten it time and time and time again. And to the people in the world that are blind, every time I tell them about some heavenly aid I got, they're going to poo-poo it. They're going to give some kind of, that was just this. That was just that. No, it was the Lord my God. It was heavenly aid. It was hopelessness turned into joy. Hallelujah. Throughout the scripture, we see that God tries to convey to doubting, hopeless mankind that he has all that's necessary for life and victorious life at that. Jesus said, I came that you may have life and have it how? Right. I didn't come so you could eke by a sorry, sad existence. I came so you would have life and have it abundantly. Right? And I'm here to testify I have life and I have it abundantly. Right? And I'm gonna go to the mat with anybody in the world who tries to tell me otherwise. That's not true. Right? You're a wah-wah. That's your problem. Right? The joy of the Lord is my strength. How about that? Now, and why does he do it? Does he do it for my glory? No. He does it for his glory, that the whole earth will know. Know what? That there's a God in Israel. That you have a father, Abba, Father. Okay? His arms are not too short for any circumstances that you face. His arms are not too short for your marriage. His arms are not too short for your financial situation. His arms are not too short for your health. Right, we're praying for Carol. My wife and I went out to, we were going out to Middletown the other day, and we were praying for Carol, and we just had such a powerful time of prayer. We were both weeping, right? Now, my flesh, the wah-wah, said to me, Carol, she needs a liver. And then the last thing we heard was her, one of her kidneys had kind of given up, And I'm like, wow, that's, if I'm the doctor, she's the last person I'm giving a liver to. Because there's not a lot of livers to go around. You got to prioritize. And if I got a woman who's got kidney problems on top of a liver problem, and then what, her pancreas was acting up, you know, I'm not sure I'd have given her that liver, okay? But that's the wah-wah. The Almighty Eternal God said, liver, next day. Next day, liver for Carol, right? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. We were in tears when we heard that, okay? We need to start saying to yourself, like the psalmist said, bless the Lord, O my soul, and let all that is within me bless his holy name. One of the things that is within me is the spirit of Wah-Wah. And I declare to that, let all that is within me, even that stinking spirit, praise his holy name. Submit yourself to the power of the Almighty God. Every part of you, be in submission to that. But if you lack joy as a Christian, if the joy of the Lord doesn't seem to rule in your life, what's that mean? Does that mean you aren't a Christian? Does that mean he isn't who Scripture says he is? I would say neither. To walk effectively in this world, victorious in this world, Scripture says you must walk by faith. You must walk by faith. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, you can't see the point of going to God in the first place. Why would I do that? I don't believe. I don't have faith. Okay? And if you don't go to God and ask, you don't do those basic things, you won't see anything in your life except obstacles. That's all you'll see is obstacles. You won't hear anything but the accuser of the brethren. And what he's going to do is paint you a picture of life without God, bereft of joy, filled with hopelessness. That's what the people out there in the world have. You have so much more, and you have every answer that they need. That's the world they live in, hopelessness, without joy. You know, you wonder with this opioid thing and all this stuff going on, what is it? It's people trying to fill a hole. They're trying to self-medicate. They're trying to fill that hopeless void with something else. And the something else that they choose is oftentimes poison. You know, there's nothing that can fill the hole within you except Jesus Christ. Nothing else is going to do it. Okay? You might get a better job and start making more money, and you're going to find out that, you know, still got that hole. Still got that hole. It hasn't satisfied. Right? This satisfies. The joy of the Lord satisfies. How many like a beautiful sunrise, a glorious sunset? You see the power of God, the vision of God, okay? I mean, just mind-blowing kind of stuff. And that's who is in your corner. The creator of those gorgeous sunsets, and that's just a little tiny fraction of the things he does. That's what he does just, you know, every day, you know? That's nothing. That's every day, right? And we look at it and we say, oh, my God. And that's what we need to say, oh, my God, right? Hebrews gives us the great definition of faith, what faith is. Scripture, though, reminds us, not only is this a great explanation, but Scripture reminds us that when you are out of bullets when it comes to faith, when you don't have faith for whatever is in front of you, it's not like that's a surprise to God. What does he say? Confess. ask, and faith will be given to you. Confess your unbelief. Lord, I'm struggling here. This kind of cold clocked me. Didn't see this coming. Right? He saw it coming. He knows the beginning from the end. He saw it coming. You didn't see it coming. Right? Your wah-wah is going to say, oh, here we go. You know, this is the one thing. God's arms are too short. Right? You know, we don't serve a God that has alligator arms. You know, they talk about receivers who don't want to go over the middle in football. They don't want to lay those arms out because they'll get blown up. Right? They call them alligator arms, little short arms. Right? Your God doesn't have alligator arms. Now, he doesn't have short arms. His arms are not too short for every need that you have. Hebrews 11:1. Now, faith is the assurance of things hoped for. You don't have it yet, but you're assured it's coming. I know it's coming. And the conviction, the firm belief of things not yet seen. Okay? I don't know when it started happening, but more and more in my dealings with God, he just downloads something in me and I see something before it happens. And if I know it's God, you know, if he gives me a picture of something in Keith's life, I'm going to go tell him. I'm going to go tell him before it happened. And then he's going to know, and I'm going to know, when it does happen, that was God. That was God. And in God's economy, it happened before it happened. Right? You know, how many know a lot of the trials and tribulations we go through, there's a purpose. You know, read the story of Joseph. Learn that one. There's no room for hopelessness when you're standing in faith. And if you're out of faith, if Satan has punched your ticket to the resort of hopelessness, don't get comfortable there. Don't unpack your bags. You ain't staying for long, right? Or some people pitch camp there. You got to recognize. You got to recognize, I'm living in hopelessness. That's not where I belong, right? Christ didn't die so that I could live in hopelessness, right? So I would say to you, if you don't feel joyful, examine that carefully in the light of his word. Confess the weakness of your flesh. Recognize that you have a default switch. Part of the weakness of your human condition. You have a default switch that tends to forget, that tends to focus on the negative, tends to focus on the obstacles, on the present reality before your eyes. Okay? Before we know it, we're walking by sight and not by faith. And that is your daily battle. God's not mad at you when you're walking there. But he's given you a way out. He's given you a different way to walk. Jesus says, in this world, you have trouble. Right? Don't get discouraged because, you know, things seem hopeless. He said that. In this world, you will have trouble. But take courage. Because I have overcome this world. Amen? When I'm tempted to despair or despise, I don't know about you, but if somebody does me wrong, the flesh in me wants to despise. I want to hate on them, right? And you know, I have to, you know, Bob's doing a Bible study called Taking the Mind, the Thoughts of the Mind Captive. And it's amazing how that's a full-time job, you know? What do we have? 70,000 thoughts a day? 70,000 thoughts a day, right? And not many of them are good. Not many of them are good. It's a full-time job to be going through those thoughts and say, no, that's bad. That's bad. That's bad. No, that's bad too. No, that's bad. Oh, we got five today that's of the Lord. We got five thoughts out of 70,000. The Lord knows the condition of our reality. But the Lord knows I've given you what you need. I have given you what you need. Now at 62, it's much easier for me to do that because I have such a string of testimony where time and time again, how God took a hopeless situation in my life, a hopeless situation, and gave me victory. He overcame, and I rode those coattails right in. Right? You know, in the story of Joseph, one of his sons, I think it's Ephraim. You know what Ephraim means? He has caused me to prosper in the land of my affliction. I'll take that. I'm going to be in a land of affliction, but my God is going to cause me to prosper in that land. I'll take that. I'll take that. You know, you need to recognize Ephraim is for you too. Ephraim is for us. The Lord, the joy of the Lord is our strength. Is our strength. There are several, you know, I looked up passages. There's 100 scriptures from this one page in the Bible that, you know, it says, what does the joy of the Lord, let me get that right. What does the Bible say about the joy of the Lord? I'm not going to give you all 100. I'll give you 90. No. But if you're interested, there's, you know, literally hundreds. They stopped at 100. We get Nehemiah 8:10. Philippians 4:4, rejoice in the Lord always. I say rejoice. Psalm 28:7, the Lord is my strength and my shield. In him my heart trusts, and I am helped. My heart exalts, and with my song I give thanks to him. Psalm 16:11, you make known to me the path of life. In your presence there is a fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. Romans 15:13, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. Psalm 73:26, my flesh and my heart may fail, but God is the strength of my heart and my portion forever. And it goes on and on and on. Church, I'm not making this up. I'm not making this up. The joy of the Lord is your strength, right? And if you feel like, you know, your strength is waning, if you feel like your hopelessness is coming on, then you have to, you know, go to his word and deal with that. I'd like to end with a call to repent. You know, it doesn't have to be anything heavy. You know, all you sinners, you're going to hell because you lost your faith. No, that's not what it's about. Repent simply means to turn. To turn. If you feel like you've been in a place of hopelessness, if you feel like there's, maybe most of your life is doing well, but there's this one thing where the devil is just wah, 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 wah. And that you don't have hope for that particular spot. I want to ask you, if the Holy Spirit is fingering that, repent. Right now you can do it. Repent. And I'd like to pray now and ask the Holy Spirit to show you, A, give you faith, because that's what you need first. Give you faith, and then show himself strong. Fill you with joy. Remember the definition of faith. It's before it happens, you believe it's gonna. Matter of fact, you don't only believe it's gonna, you know it's gonna. You know it's gonna, right? So I just ask you to take a minute, search your hearts. and see if there's any place where, you know, you took a trip to hopelessness. You believed the lie. You know, you said, yeah, God's okay for this, but he sure enough can't handle that. Okay? Hallelujah. God wants to remind us today that he always places before us a choice, life and death. We always have that choice before us, right? Choose life. Choose the joy of the Lord, not the joy of your abilities, not your plans, not your paycheck, not any of that stuff that the world holds up as a counterfeit, right? Life is in him and in him alone. Choose life. Choose him. Hallelujah. I would just ask you, you know, every eye closed, if you're responding to this, just stand up. Father, your word tells us that without faith, we cannot please you. So, Lord, we pray that today would be the day that we begin living victoriously. Lord, we know in this world we'll have trouble. Your word tells us that. But, Lord, teach us to rest in the assurance of your promise that you have promised, I have overcome the world. And you in us boost us to victory and overcoming the world. Every single circumstance and situation, Lord, that we bow down and give to you, Father, you give us victory. You give us power. You give us everything we need to have. Because we know, Lord, that our strength is the joy of the Lord. Help us to remain joyful. Help us to rebuke the evil one. Help us to recognize what our battle is, what our daily toil is. Hallelujah. 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 Amen.